Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show. We want to hear from our listeners out there. The call-in line is always 929-477-1393. And now, here she is. It's Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm always so honored to be with you. And today, let's take a minute to allow you to tell our wonderful listening audience all about Scott Cluthy. He is just a media professional, and I am so honored to be here with you. Can you share a little bit about your background, Scott?
Well, Laura, you're very kind. You really don't have to do this every time, but I do love to share about me. I mean, what else is there more important than... No, I'm just kidding. As you well know, I've been involved in media since the early 70s, really, and a lot of that was community radio. And community is interesting because being in community radio for over 16 years continuously on the air at the station KPFT in Houston, part of Pacifica Foundation, well, I gathered some listeners and also friends along the way. So just an interesting little side story today. One of them, her name is Nancy Clinton, is owner of a very excellent video production facility here in Houston. She knows me from some of my video production, but she knows me from the radio as being a fan back in the 80s. And wouldn't you know it, Nancy Clinton's calling me today to help make contact to find some things that she needs for a video production because of my work in the senior care community. Isn't that an interesting, circuitous route to that kind of connection?
That is, Scott. And, you know, Scott has helped me with some of my videos, some of we just did a great Facebook video. That was so much fun, Scott. I want to do that again. But he is a wonderful producer, has great ideas for, of course, our show here and other shows that he does. So I'm really glad that you are getting much more play and that she did contact you to give her a hand.
Well, thank you, Laura. Well, let us know what you're doing today, because I believe the Dementia Whisperer's on the road, right?
We are on the road. It's very exciting. We're going to be talking more about that, but I do want to address our wonderful listening audience. I want you to know that you are not alone. You know, if you have any worries or concerns or anxieties, or you want advice, inspiration, and encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've certainly tuned in to the right place. You know, stay with us today. This hour, we will be taking your calls and talking about the newest information from the world of dementia. As a matter of fact, our next segment is News and Views from the World of Dementia. And Scott and I added this current event views and opinions segment. And Scott, I understand you have some articles to share with us today. News and views from the world of dementia. I always find these so interesting.
Absolutely. Well, without further ado, let's get into some news on dementia and Alzheimer's and all related disease, as well as issues that really confront us one step or another along the road of life. From Sweden, Women with high physical fitness at middle age were nearly 90% less likely to develop dementia decades later compared to women who were moderately fit, according to a recent study published in the online issue of Neurology, the medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology. The study measured the women's cardiovascular fitness based on an exercise test. When the highly fit women did develop dementia, they developed the disease on average 11 years later than women who were moderately fit, or at age 90 instead of age 79. Now, those findings are exciting because it's possible that improving people's cardiovascular fitness in middle age could delay or even prevent them from developing dementia, said the study author Helena Horoder. She's a PhD at the University of Gothenburg in Gothenburg, Sweden. For the study, 191 women with an average age of 50 for a span of 44 years were tested for dementia six times over the course of those 44 years. And during that time, 44 of the women developed dementia. 5% of the highly fit women developed dementia, compared to 25% of moderately fit women and 32% of the women with low fitness. The highly fit women were 88% less likely to develop dementia than the moderately fit women in that study. When people hear that their memory will worsen as they age, the question on their minds becomes, what can we do to remember better? A recently published Baycrest study suggests that training programs can help, but only if they are tailored towards an individual's specific memory difficulty, such as trouble remembering faces, voices, or recent events. One approach to memory intervention is to try and train underlying memory processes so individuals will see improvements in situations that require this mechanism, says Dr. Nicole Anderson, the lead author on the study, senior scientist at Baycrest Rotman Research Institute, and associate professor of psychiatry and psychology at University of Toronto. Our study focused on training one memory process, recollection, which typically deteriorates during aging. This process is what allows us to mentally time travel and re-experience past events in our mind with great detail. The study was published in the Journal of Psychology and Aging, Training Recollection Among Older Adults Between the Ages of 64 to 87. The good news is that researchers were able to demonstrate that training led to massive improvements in recollection. By the end of the program, the ability of older adults matched those of individuals in their 20s. These benefits were also shown to last when participants were retested 3 months later. The bad news, older adults did not improve on any of the tasks that should have been benefited from having better recollection, such as memory tests for remembering whether words were shown on a screen or heard through headphones. Participants also didn't report any improvements to their memory. These results reset what researchers understand about this memory process, said Dr. Anderson. For a long time, memory researchers viewed recollection as a single mechanism. But our work suggests that this is not the case. Instead, it implies there may be many different types of recollection for different contexts connected to a memory, such as feelings felt at the time, the sounds in the area of what a person sees at the time. And of course, we who study and know the work of the Dementia Whisperer understand this well. On the 16th of May, this came out. Being poor later in life may boost the risk of dementia by 50%, a new research suggests. We can certainly understand that. So says the lead researcher, Dorinda Cater. Public health strategies for dementia prevention should target socioeconomic gaps to reduce health disparities and protect those who are particularly disadvantaged, she said. She's a research associate at University College London's Department of Behavioral Science and Health. Many factors could also be involved in the findings, including differences in lifestyle and overall health. Also, affluent people have greater social and cultural opportunities that allow them to remain actively engaged with the world, as Sater explained. And the study did not prove that poverty directly causes dementia risk to rise, just that there's an association. Dr. Sam Gandy, director of the Mount Sinai Center for Cognitive Health and NFL Neurological Care in New York City, said it's possible that one sign of dementia is losing control over your finances. We do know about those stories. Poor financial management may be an early sign of dementia, such as financial resources are depleted late in life. This may also be a manifestation of executive thinking dysfunction, such as paying bills multiple times, or poor judgment and vulnerability to scam artists, Gandy said. So that is, but Gandy also agreed that financial status may be a stand-in for a poorly managed diet and lifestyle, of course, both of which are linked to the risk of dementia. Sater said that in an English nationally representative sample, the incidence of dementia appeared to be socioeconomically patterned, particularly by the level of wealth. The study actually collected data on more than 6,200 men and women aged 65 and older. And that was published again online May 16th, the journal JAMA Psychiatry. Laura, back to you.
Well, thank you, Scott. That is so interesting. And we know that dementia is no favor of persons, ethnic backgrounds, financial. I mean, it is just striking everywhere without any kind of possibility of letting up. We just we have to stop and think about how this is truly a silent pandemic, and there are so many people suffering with not just dementia symptoms, but those caregivers who are suffering, struggling, trying to take care of them without any support, encouragement, or
yes,
education. So that's what we're here about. We want to reach out to all caregivers of all kinds who are dealing with any cause of dementia, let you know that the Dementia Whisperer has all kinds of tools and resources to help you. So thank you for always bringing interesting and informative articles to share, Scott. Today our topic involves learning about a dementia care community very near and dear to my heart that I've had the honor and privilege to work with, train leadership and all staff, and grow my A Loving Approach to Dementia Care program together here for the last 2 years. This community, Country House Residences here in Granite Bay, California, is a community owned and operated by AgeMark Senior Living. Now, AgeMark Senior Living is a family-owned senior living provider with a long, successful track record of providing a quality of life to seniors and their families across the country. And we're going to hear not just from the executive director today, we're going to hear from a family member who we were able to help along this journey. So I'm very excited to share this information. AgeMark is known for creating innovative programming and for treating residents like family. AgeMark is one of the nation's most trusted senior living providers and operates several unique brands of senior living communities spanning 6 states. Each brand has its own personality and offers a distinctive combination of senior living services, including Country House Residences for memory care, providing specialized care for those with Alzheimer's disease and other memory loss conditions in purpose-built settings reminiscent of a warm, welcoming family home. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about is the visual impact of the environment here. They have proven programming, promoting familiar routines, providing reassuring direction, and offering engaging activities that all work together to spark daily moments of joy. Country House Residences are located in California, Maryland, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. Now, those living with Alzheimer's disease and dementia can experience joy in their lives every day. And at AgeMark Communities, they do. You know, we don't settle for providing a place for people just to stay. Instead, we seek to make every part of every day truly engaging for the residents who live with us, providing them with real joy and fulfillment. How does Country House accomplish this? Well, it starts with their team. They only select team members who demonstrate a genuine desire to serve the elderly. Then they provide them with best practices Alzheimer's training that can be learned, and our team makes it their mission to know the residents, their likes, dislikes, values, and past. We use that knowledge to customize the care and to ensure that they are provided with the best life possible. And I, Scott, am so pleased to be the dementia care consultant here, a part of this executive and all staff team. You're right, Scott. Today we're on the road, and we're broadcasting live from Country House Residences here, local to me, in Granite Bay, California.
Very good.
Very good.
Could you take a minute to introduce our guest today? She's sitting right here with me, right in Country House. Could you introduce her for us?
I sure will. As soon as I find it, I just can't. I'm sorry. The page. I don't mind admitting it. I've got this whole script all over the place, but I do know that Donna, Deanne, is joining us, and Deanne Helton is Executive Director for Country House Resident Memory Care. Also joining us is, good Lord, now I've lost. See, this is what happens when you get dementia over here, and it kicks in not just fast, but early. Donna St. Peters is joining us as well. And I'm sorry, Donna, I do not remember your title there at the facility. Would you help me?
I don't have a title at this facility.
She's a family member.
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm not losing it all completely yet, then. Well, then that's going to be very deep to learn and hear from you, because what's really important is not just the facility, the great network, the people there, but how does that reside then in those who use the facility as both residents and family of loved ones? And so I think you'll have a lot of great information to share with us on that about Country House. So I look forward to hearing about that. Deanne, it's great to have you here. And I think that really Laura is better qualified to ask some of the particulars on the work there. But as executive director, when did you join Country House Residents Memory Care?
I came to Country House last year, July. It'll be 1 year in July that I've been with Country House.
Very good. And as far as your professional arc and career in the field, what has been your primary focus? What drew you to Country House?
Well, to be honest with you, Scott, I started on this path as a family member. Placed my grandmother in a community. I decided I love what they did, and I came back and I asked for a job, and that's how I got started. I came to Country House as a memory care manager for another community. When I came to Country House, I knew I was where I was supposed to be.
Wow. You know, I've been through care for dementia and for other major catastrophic illness with a couple members of the family, and now it's also now some onset on my wife's side. So I know how devastating, also really eye-opening that can be. And interesting for me to be working then in senior care with my wife as well, and working with Laura Wayman, the dementia whisperer, that I didn't have a thought in the world until Alzheimer's entered my life at the same time as breast cancer. And it can certainly change your priorities, your values, and your mission, can't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
At the time that I placed my grandmother, I had no idea what we were dealing with. And when I got to go back and look at it from a caregiver's point of view, I began to understand some of the things that had happened and why they had happened. And that gave me a great sense of forgiveness. And it was one of those moments in life that you have an aha moment. So.
Yes, it is. You do develop that compassion, and those who are not always present do not always understand the dynamics, the pressures, the issues that those who are present, who are being the caregivers in one form or another, and often much more than they should, because they're going beyond, above and beyond, and making the sacrifice, are experiencing. They can't really know that because they're not present to it. Reading about it is not experiencing it. And I'm sure Miss Peter, St. Peter's will have a lot more to share about that. Laura, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Before we get to Donna, Deanne, could you share, you know, there's a huge ocean of memory care communities here in the Sacramento region. I heard recently that there were up to 500, including the smaller boarding cares, in the Sacramento region of care communities. And they don't all specialize in memory care, but over half of them do. So in this huge ocean, what do you feel is the biggest differentiator for Country House? What sets you apart?
We are blessed with amazing training with Laura Wayman. She comes in and does our transition trauma training for our staff. For when a resident comes in, they are trained to help that resident through the transition process. And it's a family here. My doors are never locked. Anyone is more than welcome at any time of the day. We have a huge family participation at Country House, and it's just more than just a community or a facility. It's someone's home, and it really is treated as such.
And I have to say, you know, I have the opportunity to travel around to many communities across the United States, and this truly is what is coming out of Deanne's mouth is truly how it feels, how it looks, how I've observed. And so I want to introduce Donna St. Peter's right now because I want her to talk about how it felt different when she walked into Country House. So, Donna, would you share your journey about how this all came about to you bringing your husband to be here with us?
Well, first of all, when my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you could have knocked me over with a feather because I knew absolutely nothing about the disease. So I had to learn everything the hard way, and I was his 24/7 caregiver. And before I got to the stage of having caregivers come into my home and help me out, I got to a stress level that was pretty darn high until I realized that the caregivers that came in and helped me and my being 24/7, that I just couldn't do it alone. And so my friends and everything, we went out and started looking around in the Sacramento area. And so I did look around, and it was when I came to Country House, and it was immediate for me, actually. It was absolutely immediate. Just the feeling of walking in the door and feeling that it was home was immediate. I just can't tell you. Just the way I was welcomed and just talking to the people, that it was just very high on the list. I just can't tell you anymore. And so just the way they worked with me from the very beginning on how we were going to get my husband here and make him feel comfortable. We had it all figured out, and so even the day when it came, we just had him come here for lunch, and I had filled out all the paperwork, and so the minute he walked in the door, he was welcomed like he was coming home. It was just so amazing. I mean, everybody came up and said, "Hi, Steve, welcome." Even the chef came and said, you know, "Whatever you'd like to eat, I'm here to help you out." It was just amazing. In fact, it was so amazing that after we had lunch, my husband just got up with the rest of the residents here and walked off and left me and my sister sitting here. And he went off and watched a movie with the rest of the residents. He felt just so comfortable here that I just looked around and said, what do I do now? And the staff said, go home, which I did. And they called me later and said that he's just doing just fine. And we showed him where his room was, and I had already furnished it and everything. And from that day on, it was just wonderful. I cannot tell you. And for me, myself, this has been my second family. I tell everybody that this is my second family because everybody here has just been so welcoming. I just can't tell you. This is my second family here.
She's our poster child.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting with Donna and talking about the stress level and how normal it was for her and helping her to understand dementia in a very different perspective and that it was really her role as a caregiver to ask for this help and she was just such a wonderful blessing to all of our lives. She was open to learning, to wanting to be better at this, to wanting to get the very best for her husband. And as we came across some speed bumps, as his care changed several times, she was always willing to come in and work with us. A dementia care plan changes all the time as they decline. And so she was always willing to come in and talk with us about how we could better care for him, how we could change the care plan, how we could change the care approach. The staff all loved working with her as well as her husband. I do have to say that we are talking about him in the past tense because he has gone on, he has passed on and left us, and we miss him very much. But when we come back, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about kind of the things that we saw and how it all opened our eyes and reminded us that every single person with dementia is different. We have to be fluid and flexible, and how what a blessing it is to have a family member who's willing to allow us on this very special and personal journey. So, Scott, if you wouldn't mind taking us out for a real quick break. I can't believe how fast this first half hour has gone.
Wow.
We're going to take the break, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about Country House Residences. We'll talk more with Deanne Helton, the executive director, and we'll talk more with Donna St. Peters about her journey and her special, wonderful husband. We want to do a little thank you memorial to him because we learned so much from him. He's a very special man. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Scott, take us out and we'll be back.
Thank you, Laura. I just want to remind our listeners that you can now get the new DVD, The Encyclopedia of Dementia Care for the Family and Professional Caregiver. That's just been released. You can go to Laura's website, laurawayman.com. Her book as well, Loving Approach to Dementia Care. Her updated edition 2 is available as well. And, of course, for personal consultation. So do check that out at laurawayman.com. We're going to be back with more as we're joined again by Deanne, and Deanne is the executive director, Deanne Helton, the executive director of Country House Residences Memory Care. Also joining us, of course, is Laura Wayman, the dementia caregiver herself, and our wonderful guest as well, Ms. St. Peters, sharing about her personal journey along the way. Don't forget the call-in number. It's always there. We'd love to hear from you. It is 929-477-1393. And we'll be back with more right after these messages. Stay with us, won't you? Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I am a want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards. 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism. 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to the Dementia Whisperer with our wonderful guests today. It's Deanne Helton, the Executive Director of the Country House Residence Memory Care, one of the residents' loving partner for many years, Donna St. Peters, and, of course, the Dementia Whisperer herself, Laura Wayman. Laura?
Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you for taking us in and out of that break. As always, I depend on you so much. You run the switchboard for me, and just you keep me sounding professional when all of us are fumbling around, right? So we are here at Country House Residences here in Granite Bay, California, which it just happens to be one of the more local communities that I get the opportunity to be a consultant with. I come here 2 to 3 times a month. I train staff, I train the executive team, I train the family members. So what I want to say is, because we're on the radio and we have Deanne Helton, who's the executive director, and we have Donna St. Peters, who is a family member who brought her loved one here for care, and he stayed here. How long was Steve here?
Just a year. Under a year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with any kind of cause of dementia like Alzheimer's, that is a terminal diagnosis. So eventually what happens is it just breaks down their brain function to a point where they cannot exist any longer. And so we kind of watch that happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that decline and how painful it is for the family members, but how necessary it is for them to reach out and ask for help. But what I want to do for our listeners right now is kind of give them a visual, which is a little different and a little bit more difficult when we're on the radio. But Deanne, would you mind kind of walking through, and Donna, you can help with this, what it looks like here in Country House Residences, because it doesn't look like a nursing home. It doesn't look like a facility. So if you could walk in and explain to the listeners, when you walk in, what does Country House look like?
Well, for one thing, there is no separation. When you walk in the door, it's an open area where residents and family members are normally in our living room area. We have an outdoor space that is just majestic.
It's phenomenal. That's right.
And the doors are always open to that outside space for the residents, because on beautiful days like today, who wouldn't want to go outside and sit? And it's my favorite part of the building.
It's a California style outdoor living space. There's
yes.
a waterfall, and there's a grassy area, and it is just beautiful. It sounds beautiful with the running water, and there's a beautiful patio area that's well shaded. There's even a fire pit where you can sit around when the weather is a little bit cooler. So Donna, tell us, what did you feel when you first walked in? Did it feel like a institution?
Not at all. Everything was very new and clean, and what can I say? It was like coming home. I mean, when you walk in the front door, it's very much a living room, and it has the grand piano in there and chairs around, and you walk in and it's got the dining area, and off to the side there's an area where everybody can sit around and watch the big TV, and then off down the corridors it has all your little private bedrooms, and then you have another activity area. It's all very, very nice.
It feels like a resort almost
yes.
when you walk in, doesn't it?
Yeah. In fact, in some ways, we always think of it more like a hotel, like the Marriott. It's like walking into a Marriott hotel.
Absolutely. So when you first walk in, it's a very different feeling. But then where I like to say that I get to pat myself on the back here for a little minute, it's all about how it feels when you walk in as well. And that's a very important part of my training, is helping the families to understand it's all about how we make our residents feel moment to moment. So, Dan, would you agree that that's the hardest part of my training, to help everyone, including the executive team, the staff, the chef, the facilities? When I'm training, that's so important that we make sure that we are talking to people's feelings. That's probably the hardest thing to learn, isn't it?
It is absolutely the hardest thing to learn, and I giggle at myself because I still, to this very day, with working with Laura for over 5 years, still have to remind myself to do so. But it is a greater way to speak to a person with dementia. I find it to be the most loving way, and so I try to practice all day, every day.
And what do we all, the three of us here have all been caregivers, we all understand, what are the three things that we always try and do as caregivers, especially with dementia? What is that again, Deanne, that we cannot do when it comes to caring for somebody with dementia? We cannot.
Fix it, change it, or
stop it.
And
we need to listen to them. And we have to let them feel, and we have to let them have the behaviors associated with what they're feeling, and then we need to help them manage it. And I always laugh, and I love what I do, because that is something I'm constantly helping people with when I'm working with staff, with the executive team, with family members. I'm always saying, remember, we can't stop it, fix it, or change it. But Donna, when you first brought your husband here, did you not have some expectation about how we were going to stop, fix, or change some of the things that he was going through, right?
Well, I was so stressed out. When I brought him in here, I just knew that you could do a better job than me. And actually, really, I've learned so much from your caregivers about the way that you took care of him, that it was just amazing for me, actually. And the thing that I really loved when we even talked before he even came in here was that you said that you would care for him and I could be his wife again. That was the most important thing to me, really, that all all of that stress and all of that worry and all of the guilt was taken away from me, and that was so good for me, really. And so I learned from you also and your caregivers on how to make his life so much better, because I felt so guilty when I was taking care of him because I knew it wasn't the right way for him.
And that's so hard to let go, because everything we've learned all our life is that we're supposed to be stimulating their brain and
right.
allowing them to think for themselves. And with a healthy brain, that's exactly what we need to do. And that's what you did all through your married life until he started losing normal brain function. And then you had to reverse gears and think for him.
Right.
And when you start to learn that you have to do that, it is so counterintuitive to everything we've learned all our life.
And frustrating.
And it's so frustrating. We still have to practice this every day as professionals. And it is especially hard for the family member, because you have that special emotional connection. You shared everything with him all your married life. And then all of a sudden I come in as the dementia whisperer and say, don't tell him that. It's too much information. You can't share that with him anymore. So that's another loss that you experienced, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Your partner in communication.
That's right, because by the time he came here, he could hardly speak. I mean, he was into yes and no, mostly no.
Yes.
A lot of no.
A lot of no.
And so, right, yes, I had already lost him to Alzheimer's by the time he came in here, and that was heartbreaking for me.
And we did, I hope, it was certainly our intention, we did give you more moments of meaning with him as his wife.
Exactly.
When we took over the caregiving responsibility.
Right, I could be more loving again to him.
Yes.
Because, yes.
Yeah.
I did not have the stress of taking care of him and my home and myself and everything that was happening with me. It was so much better. I wish I would have done it earlier, to tell you the truth.
And I wish I could bottle that information and give it to caregivers who come in here. How often do we see that, Dan? When they're coming in here and they're going, I don't know if it's the right time. I don't know if it's the right time. I think we need to wait. And we say, well, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, we're not sure. We're waiting for... and.
A catastrophe.
Yes, usually it's a crisis.
It's crisis.
And so then they don't have, what happens is when you wait for the crisis, then you don't have the opportunity to find that place that fits you more personally, because you're often forced into a place that has an opening instead of being able to, like you had the opportunity to look around and then
right.
in your gut you knew this is the right place.
Definitely.
That's the gift that we are so happy that we could give to you, that we could show you how this could be the right place, give you the opportunity to kind of process that yourself.
To plan it, too.
And to
so
plan
that
it.
So would work out.
Yes.
And we could easily just... make it
seamlessly.
Done right.
Yeah.
Yes. And we work as a team to help you get to that point, to educate you about dementia awareness and why this is the right time and how it's not going to get better. It's going to get more difficult for you to make this decision if you wait longer. So if we could only just give that to every caregiver who's listening, please let us help you with this, because if you're asking if it's the right time, it's probably been the right time for a long time, and we can help you plan that, right?
Right.
Yes. So when you first came in and we were talking with you, can you share with us how you felt you made, well, let me back up. We want to talk about right now about how the feelings and emotions remain. They don't lose their feelings and emotions. And so you saw some frustration with Stephen. You saw some annoyance that you were trying to stop it, fix it, or change it. You saw some resistance from him allowing you to care for him. How do you think he was feeling at that time? What kinds of feelings do you think he was having when you were still at home and you were starting to get this resistance and realizing that you were not able to connect with him the same way?
Well, there were several things that I've learned along the way. I think, and I still don't understand, and I think that I've had these comments or these conversations with the caregivers here and the staff here. There is something about Alzheimer's, and I still don't understand about taking showers. I will never understand what it is about Alzheimer's and people about taking showers. It was like pulling out their fingernails or something, getting them in the shower. Even when I had employed caregivers at home, and I had male caregivers just for that reason, to help me get him in the shower. And it was a battle to the end. And I really don't understand. And the other problem I was having is getting him to take his medicine or his Alzheimer's medicine. And he just was, I mean, I really think that I really saw the digression in his age, really. I mean, in a lot of ways, he was acting like a three-year-old or in a lot of the things that he did. And that was what was so frustrating for me, was seeing him act like that. You know, he was 82 years old, and to see him digress was very frustrating for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, Donna, there's a physical reason why that was happening.
Sure.
So the very brain function that we learn, because we're born with a certain amount of basic brain functions. We have just basic brain functions of the ability to keep our heart beating and swallowing and basic movements. However, we learn to control those movements. We learn the brain function later in life of understanding and processing language and all the data that we receive. So when you first married Steve, he had normal brain function. So he could access all the normal brain functions. So it was Steve here that could walk and talk and move and think and process and have a relationship with you and communicate. Those very same brain functions are exactly what's robbed from them when they get a cause like Alzheimer's. And it's the same with any cause. It could be Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Pick's disease, Lewy body, whatever it is. They start to lose that brain function that they've learned throughout their lifetime, including processing all the data that it takes to take a shower. So let's think about that. Because their feelings and emotions that they're born with never change, but they lose the ability to process what they're feeling in the moment and what to do about it. They just feel and react very much like an infant, right? So if an infant's hungry, what do they do? How do they let you know they're hungry? They don't say, "I'm hungry, I want a bottle." They cry. Then it's up to us to help that infant with that feeling of hunger by simply taking action and feeding them. How would that infant feel if instead of feeding them when they're crying and they're hungry, how would they feel if we asked them a question? Would you like the blue bottle or the pink bottle today? How would that make that infant feel? They would become agitated and scared and frustrated because we're not feeding them. We're asking them to process with a brain that has not learned how to do that. So we would make them anxious. So let's fast forward to your husband who always took a shower, but how many brain functions does it take to take a shower? So you have to decide to take off your clothes. You have to decide to get in the bathroom first, take off your clothes, decide what the water temperature is, get into the shower safely, decide how many brain functions does it take to decide how to wash your hair, how to wash your body, how to rinse your body off. Is the water temperature staying comfortable? You have thousands and thousands of nerve endings in your body that process the temperature of the water, the pressure of the water. All of that has to be working together for you to feel safe and secure in the shower. So if you cannot process that, if you can't process why someone that you you're not sure about maybe even a stranger, a caregiver, is there helping you and you don't even know why they're there, why you need their help, why that is making you feel anxious. There, you have feelings of modesty. You have feelings of fright. Okay, so then water hits your skin. It feels uncomfortable because you can't process that. It might feel too hot for you, too cold for you. How do you express that if you can't process it? And you're trying to get into a tight-fitting space when you can't process space anymore. You might have to step over the bathtub. You're off balance because you don't have good balance and coordination. Are you stressed yet? And everything is so confusing because you can't reason with why you feel this way. So that's why they resist showering. That's why they resist eating properly. Because think about how many normal brain functions it takes to decide which utensil to use, what to eat first, should I drink, all the different noises. If there's somebody's giving me a choice, do I want chicken or fish? I don't even know what you're talking about. So by giving them so much information, they get on overwhelm. I call it fatigue madness. Their thinker is broken. Their thinker is overtaxed. So what we need to do is think for them, and that's why they resist us. That's exactly the reason. And there's physical reasons why, because their brain is broken. That's a lot to take in, isn't it? No wonder they resist. I would too.
But we have to understand that. And so we have to be taught to understand.
Exactly.
And nobody in today's society, we are not taught how to be caregivers out there. You know, that is why.
There were no books when we were growing up on how to deal with Alzheimer's in your mother or your father or your spouse.
There was never even the word.
No.
The word was not even out there.
No.
Right. And half of us over the age of 70 have some cause of loss of normal brain function. So shouldn't the world be dementia aware?
Yes.
In 2 hours, I could take my training and completely transform the world. Can you imagine what a different world it would have been for you if every doctor was dementia aware?
Wow, that would be great.
Every emergency room doctor?
Emergency room doctors.
Paramedics, firemen, policemen. That's my message to us always. And to help you, when you walked in here and we helped you to be dementia aware, for you to feel that relief of the guilt that you talked about, that peace of mind.
But the guilt is oftentimes what keeps loved ones at home. A lot of the time when people come in here, they see our beautiful community, they fall in love with the surroundings and the feeling, the one thing that keeps them home is their own guilt.
Exactly. And with education, we could get past that. Oh, my goodness. We could once, because like you said, once you understood that if there was nothing you could do to stop it, fix it, or change it, that we were just going to help you manage it and took that weight off your shoulders.
But as caregivers, we automatically go to fix it
before
we stop to think if they're going to be able to receive that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I have to practice all the time is I go to naturally fix it as a caregiver. That's what we do.
But maybe what the loved one needs to know is that you've tried the best you can and you aren't equipped to fix it. That you need to go to the specialists that are trained to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even the specialists need to understand we can't fix it either, but we can help you to manage it and help you get in a place where you have a peace of mind that it takes a village.
It truly takes a village. Yep.
I learn something new every day, every single day. I don't come to this position saying I know everything because I don't. I come to this position saying that I'm open to learn. And aren't these caregivers who have been trained to have an open mind and think out of the box, aren't they amazing, Donna? They are
definitely amazing.
I
mean, one thing I never thought about when we were back to the shower or whatever is when my husband was in here, you know, I was always trying to shower him in the morning because That's when he always had his shower. The first thing they did here is they tried showering him at night, and he was much more receptive to it. I never ever thought to do that.
Right, because that morning shower was a learned brain function that evidently along the way he lost. And so we didn't have that to rely on anymore. And so we thought for him, which gave him an opening to be more receptive. So strange. And I love working with staff like this, where I've had about 2 years to watch them grow. Because, like I said, Dan, we learn something new every day. We get new residents, and it's so exciting because Country House will reach out to me and say, these are our challenges, and I'll come in and we'll work together. It's not me coming in with a solution. It's me coming in, and we all find it together, don't we?
We do, and not only just the staff, but the work you do with families, bringing them to a place of understanding that you can't stop it, fix it, or change it, but here's a couple of ideas on how to deal with it. If we could make the whole world a country house resident, it would be a wonderful place for dementia.
We could. We could make this a perfect world in this most horrific illness of our time. But I truly believe, and I know you all have my back here, I truly believe that this is the method that is tried and true, successful. I do have the opportunity to bring it here to Country House on a regular basis. I always look forward to it. The family members, helping them to open their eyes and relax and have a little bit of relief in this painful journey. I am just so honored to be here. So, Dan, would you mind giving some contact information? Because I'm sure some of our listeners want to talk more about what we need to do, how we need to make the world more dementia aware. So if you could, and they're welcome to call and ask you questions about your community. And if this isn't the right community, you have resources for them, right?
Absolutely. That's the one thing about country houses, is if this isn't the place for you, we are more than happy to help you find that place and find your comfort in the world of dementia. The number here is 916-899-6565. We are on the corner of Douglas and Barton Road in Granite Bay. My email is dhelton@countryhouse.net. Give us a call.
And you have a very special support group. And Donna, you come to that support group sometimes and help people.
Yes, yes. That's a wonderful thing, too, is that you supply that even though my husband has tasks, that you still invite me to the family gatherings, and I still do because I love the families here and I love the other residences, so I still come because you are my second family. And yes, I do come to your caregiver meetings, and I love that you have a caregiver meeting that is just for spouses. I get a lot out of that, and I get a lot out of talking to the spouses that still have residents here. So, and I love to talk to them about their feelings and my feelings too.
And when is that support group, Deanne?
So our first support group is every first Thursday at 5:30, and our second support group is every third Thursday at 10:30 a.m.
Yes, so you have lots of opportunities. I truly encourage caregivers to join a support group, and this is just a great one. And you can hear from veterans like Donna about her journey and talk with people who are newly on this journey, all different places. I do want to just tell our listening audience, you can get a hold of me if you have any questions about Country House. Please email me at help@laurawayman.com or call me on my personal cell phone, 916-792-7512. And I'm going to do our quote for this month. It is all of the letters for caregiver. For C, it is caring. For A, always there. For R, ready to give their all. For E, encouraging. G is gracious. I is incredible. V is valuable. E is exceptional. and R is respectful. And I'm going to hand this over to Scott here in a minute. Thank you all for joining us today. We recognize the courage it takes to reach out for help on this. This is the most difficult journey of dementia care. Nothing in your life can prepare you to care for a loved one with any cause of dementia. And I feel truly honored that you came to us today seeking our support as well as the support of our listening audience. So, Scott, can you take us out? Thank you so much to my very special guest today. And we'll have to have another show here. This was so much fun. So, Scott, can you take us out today?
Absolutely, Laura. We want to thank Deanne Holton, the Executive Director, Country House Residents Memory Care, and that is in Granite Bay, California. They also have facility in Maryland, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa as well. And, of course, Donna St. Peters sharing from a very personal experience there. And, of course, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Don't forget, you can go to laurawayman.com to get the new rendition of her book, as well as the DVD, the Encyclopedia of Dementia Care. This is Scott Cluthie. Take care, be kind, and we'll see and hear you again in the future on Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthie, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.